Before I introduce John, I wanted to say something. This is Asia's Hope Sunday, and this isn't just something we do. I want to say it's part of our identity as a church. I believe there's different churches have different callings, and I think fatherless widow, alien stranger, or do justice, love, work, mercy, walk in humility. I mean, this is part of what we do. This is the thing the church never backs down from. It doesn't back down. And so we're actually, there is going to be an ask in this sermon. And then we're having a congregational business meeting. We do this every year. This year is kind of a singular year. And it's a very, I'd say, gravely important meeting. If you consider this your church home, it's a very important meeting to be at. We're going to apprise you of some situations. And yeah, so I am so excited for John to share. I've read his outline, and I'm really excited. All right.
Hey, thanks. I am the aforementioned John. And I've been here for a long time, and I know a lot of you guys. What Adrian said when we were worshiping. Adrian was over here, and she just said, "You know, I just love you guys." And that's actually, you know, something that every time I get a chance, whether I'm leading worship or I get a chance to come up here, I just look out and I'm not only filled with love for individual people that I know, but I love this church. I love people that I see here that I haven't even met. I'm glad you're here. I believe that if you're here today for any reason, even if you're just wandering by and you saw the door open and hoped there was coffee, or this has always been your church for a long time, or you're brand new here, this is a pretty important day, as Jeff said. Today, I'll just give you the ending point now. I'm going to ask you guys to do two things, and one of those is to evaluate and reiterate or make a commitment to support our church's partnership with Asia's Hope, and then the other one is come to the finance meeting if you can, and if you come to the finance meeting afterwards, if you are married and have a spouse and kids, and you need to send one of you home or one of you to get the food. Each one of you, I would love to see you here because, and even if you're not a regular giver at the church, this isn't a stakeholder meeting like you have to show your stock, certificates. Especially if you're not a regular giver to the church, this is a great meeting to come to because, as Jeff alluded to, we have some extraordinary opportunities that are just around the corner at our church. There are things that are already in planning that are coming up that I think have the potential of being as instrumental and as formative in our church as our original partnership with Asia's Hope was. But we're also at something of a crossroads because there's some extraordinary challenges that we as a church face. And the way we respond together, I think, will determine, you know, how we're going to grab a hold of these opportunities out there. So those are the two things I'm going to ask you to do. If you don't hear anything else today, you've heard that. Let me pray. Father God, we just thank you. We ask you to make this space a holy space, a space that your Holy Spirit comes and dwells in and resides in. I pray that you'd begin to draw us near, draw our attention to you, draw our attention to the activity of your Holy Spirit in each of our lives, in our church community, and in our community as a whole. God, we ask you to bless each of us as we open our hearts to you, and we expect to be encouraged by you. Amen. So we've been doing a series on compassion. And it's been a pretty cool. Jeff talked about this a couple times, and it's that in the Bible, when you hear the word heart and it's talking about emotion, someone's heart being moved, or you hear about somebody's heart being encouraged, actually, that word heart in most of the cases is not the word. Like, you look in the New Testament, though, they could have used the word cardia, where we get cardiac and cardiology. They could have used that word, but the idea of the center of the emotions, the idea of the center of the human spirit and being in the actual, like, physical heart muscle, that's actually something that was read back into the Bible many, many years later. If you look at the original language in Greek, the word is splanchnon. Does everyone say splanchnon? Splanchnon or splanchnon? Say splanchnon. And what that means, in the oldest English translations, it was translated as bowels. Intestines, specifically the bowels, the parts that when you feel sick to your stomach, you're just like, oh man, this isn't going to be good. If any of you have ever traveled extensively overseas, you understand that feeling. And I actually really like that. So, for instance, in Philemon, there's a verse in Philemon. Here it is. And Paul says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. And it's interesting because almost all of the translations, if you go to like Bible Gateway and you look through and all the ones that we probably read, you know, English Standard Version, New International Version, NASB, Holman Christian Standard, any of those, they all say hearts. The word is not hearts. Translated directly, it would say, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the bowels of the Lord's people. And that's really weird. But I think about that. You think about, you know, when you're falling in love, they talk about butterflies in your stomach. You know, yeah, your heart rate does increase and your cheeks flush and that, but what you really feel, most of us really feel it in our stomach, or you're in big trouble. And you're walking to the principal's office, or your dad wants to see you, and you know you've done something wrong, and you're walking towards him. Your knees get a little bit weak, and you just kind of feel sick to your stomach. I remember very, very distinctly a few years ago when one of my coworkers' husbands suddenly died, and I got the phone call, and I was driving, and I just felt like, oh, I'm gonna vomit. My stomach just becomes incredibly weak. And so that's what we hear about when we talk about a move deeply in our spirit. Actually, I want you to think about that sense of being filled to the point where you're moved in your stomach. You get that feeling where you feel like you might be sick. And so this idea of refreshing the bowels, you know, we talk about being a New Testament church. Everyone says, I want to be a New Testament church. Man, if talking about bowels is a sign of being a New Testament church, Central Vineyard, we have just excelled in this. Because I think in a year of Jeff's sermons, probably we mentioned poop. Bowels, bowel movements, probably more than I had heard my entire life combined in church. And having traveled with Jeff overseas a number of times, the stories exist. Just ask people around you. I mean, this is very relevant to our living. But I think the thing that is relevant when we're talking about compassion, that's another word we hear a lot in the Bible, hear compassion, and compassion means to suffer with. To suffer with. When somebody else feels something, that's why that physical, that enteric, that visceral sympathy with somebody is so essential to the human condition. When we feel compassion, we don't just go, yes, I understand that you have a problem. I mean, that's kind of psychopathic. If we can look at the suffering of other people around us, we look at the suffering and we go, I now can move all of this into my brain and I can move into problem solving or problem dismissing mode. That's not sort of what real life and real compassion is. It's I see that you're suffering, and it actually physically moves me. We see in Mark 6:34, Jesus is described as this. It says, when Jesus landed, he was in a boat with some of his followers. He landed and saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them. He had compassion, and it says, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. So Jesus sees them. He sees them, and he recognizes, oh, these guys are so lost. These guys are hurting. These guys are in a place of deep crisis, and he was moved by that. He was moved by that, and so he began teaching them things. So when we see something, we're physically, we're mentally, we're spiritually moved, not only to feeling alongside with those people, but then we're moved into action. So I'm going to ask, while we do this, I'm going to ask Brooke to put up a slideshow And we're just going to have some pictures back here that will go on over the next few minutes. And these are pictures from Asia's Hope, which is the organization that I lead and that our church has been integrally involved in forming. One of the things that you may now note is that these aren't just pictures of kids from the Prekang 2 home that our church sponsored for a decade and a half. They're not just pictures of college students that we currently are supporting at the Batamang Student Center, but they're pictures from all over Asia's Hope. And the reason we're doing that is because when Central Vineyard got involved with Asia's Hope, when Central Vineyard, we were a church of probably half the size or smaller than we are now, and the church responded emotionally, responded physically, responded with generosity, we set into motion something that has now led to a proliferation of ministry. So, and I'll just real quick back, how was it, 14 years ago? 14 years ago, and I stood in a up front. I had mono. I was sort of slumped over the podium, but God's heart moved. I saw people cry, I see people move, and people raised their hands, and people filled out cards, and our church moved into a period of extraordinary generosity where for a few years, I think 50% of the church budget went to Asia's Hope, which that's amazing. When I tell that to other pastors and they hear that story, they're both incredibly impressed and sort of horrified. You know, to think about a church giving half of what it is that they bring in offerings so that orphans, kids who are at high risk of exploitation, could be brought in to a loving Christian family. Since that time, we went from having three homes because of the investment that Asia's Hope, or that Central Vineyard did at Asia's Hope, we've now expanded to 35 homes. So more than 825 kids right now are living in families where they are safe because of what happened here, because of your heart of compassion. A year ago, we did another Asia's Hope Sunday, and we talked about the student center. We talked about moving, making room at Prekang 2 so that another organization could come in, the Prekang 2 Children's Home, the one that we started, so that they could sponsor that and we could take an opportunity to help Asia's Hope support a university student center. So what that looks like, we talked about this last year, and if you go back behind the Connect table and behind the coffee area, you see those pictures up on the wall. They're sort of obscured by some sort of plants and things. But that was the list of kids from last year. You'll see 40 kids up on the wall. And who those kids are kids who grew up in an Asia's Hope home in Battambang, Cambodia. Grew up in one of the 13 homes now that Asia's Hope has there. These are kids who were at the if you would predict out based on the factors in their lives whether they would succeed or not, these kids were almost guaranteed to fail. You know that in Cambodia, only about 20% of adults have graduated high school. And that's nationwide. That includes the wealthy. That includes the poor. About 20% of adults. At Asia's Hope, we have about 90% of the kids that grow up in our homes graduate high school. And we started a school a couple years ago in Battambang, where our student center is. 3 years ago, we started our first graduating class. 3 years ago, every single one of the 12th graders who graduated passed the university entrance exam on the first try. The next year, every single one of the kids in our graduating class passed the college entrance exam the first try. This year, we had 22 kids in our graduating class. Every single one of those kids who graduated passed the college entrance exam on the first try. And so these kids who were almost guaranteed to fail, are now positioned, they're ready to lead their country. And so what we've been able to do is to say, we want to provide a place. We want to provide, and right now we have, and we just moved, actually. We had a team over there a month or so ago. We started out with this apartment sort of building. We had two apartments, one for boys, one for girls. They're four-story apartment buildings where the kids could live. And the idea is when they're in college, they can have a supportive place that they can live, where they can be encouraged. There's a Christian family who runs the student centers, and they can have an opportunity to exercise increasing independence so that when they graduate with their college education, that they can be independently successful. This year, we've graduated 9 kids from the student center. They graduated university, and we brought in 19 more. So we're going to have new pictures coming up very soon. In the next couple weeks, you'll start seeing new sets of pictures. We'll try to have some in the bulletin so you can see pictures and names. But we now have 50 kids at the university student center. We've had to move into a new facility. So we actually just recently moved into a new facility that has room not only for these 50 kids, a few more, and then we got to start a second one, which we're not going to ask Central Vineyard to sponsor that one too, but hey, man, who knows? Who knows what happens when the cards come in? But so this project is succeeding because of your generosity. We pay for the building, we pay for the staffing, we pay for other costs related to the center, and because of that, we are able to, at Asia's Hope, complete that promise we made to the first group of kids. Our very first group of kids we ever had, we told them, hey, if you guys can graduate high school, we'll pay for your college. Well, when you expect among the poorest of the poor in Cambodia, maybe 2% of kids who grew up as orphans are likely to graduate college. That was an easy promise to make, but now that we see that like 90% of our kids are graduating high school, and 70 to 80 to 90 in some places percent of those kids are going on to university or vocational training. This year, we have 125 kids across Asia's Hope that are receiving full-ride scholarships to go to university or vocational training. Within about 5 years, we're going to have about 225 kids at one time that are going to be receiving those scholarships. And so our church, Central Vineyard, plays a huge role in the ministry to those kids, because one of the things that we want to do, yes, we want to fulfill that promise, but we also see ourselves as helping to really complete what we started. And we started out rescuing these kids because we didn't want them to be exploited as children. We didn't want them to be begging on the streets. We didn't want them to be trafficked. But what we've been able to do is now put them in a position where they can permanently break chains of poverty that have enslaved their families for generation and generations and generation. We don't want to just put these kids on a bungee cord so that, you know, while they're a child, they can have a place where they can grow. But as soon as they're age out, which Asia's Hope doesn't do, but so many other places, including foster care system in the United States, we didn't want to be where as soon as these kids age out, they snap back into the same life of poverty that that their biological parents suffered in. And so this church is helping not only provide a place for these kids in Batambang, but we're doing the same thing we did before. You see, when we partnered the first time with Central Vineyard, this was the first church to ever say, yeah, we'll take a whole children's home. We'll take a whole one. Just tell us what the budget is and we'll raise the money for it. After that, other churches said, well, if they can do it, we can do it. And that's why now we have 35 homes. Well, guess what? Right now, Central Vineyard is in this place where we're trying to figure out what does it look like to have a church sponsor one of these university student centers. Because we have this one right now in Batambang. We have another one in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. This coming fall and winter, we're opening up 2 new ones in Chiang Mai, Thailand, for the kids there. And about 4 or 5 years down the line, we're going to have to open up 1 or 2 in India. And so we need to have a church that's going to be patient and flexible and generous and the one that is willing to roll with the punches when we drop the ball. We need to have a church like Central Vineyard hang with us as we figure out what it's going to look like to invite other churches, other businesses into this model. So that's what we've been doing. And I just wanted to just say that this is one of the reasons why I love Central Vineyard Church so much. This is one of the reasons why, you know, there are a lot of churches that you walk into and they're impressive because of their facilities, or they're impressive because of, you know, the music, or they're impressive because of the preaching and that. And that is wonderful. You know, we aspire to do better and all those things all the time. But the thing that makes Central Vineyard so unique is that we are so deeply committed to leadership in the area of compassion and generosity. I just want to encourage you. It's been a discouraging, I don't know, long period of time watching the news, especially if you have a heart of compassion, especially if you have a heart of compassion for the people that Jesus keeps on coming back to and that God spoke about having a special heart for immigrants, for refugees, for orphans. It's a discouraging time in our country. It's a discouraging time in our culture, and it's so divisive. You know, I find myself, I probably watch way more TV news shows than I should. I have probably too many political podcasts on my phone at any given time. But, you know, when we do what we've done historically with Asia 7, when we stand up and when we say, yes, we want to do ESL, not because it's a brilliant church growth strategy, although I think it might be, but because we are standing up and we are rejecting the partisan pundit culture. You know what I mean by the pundit culture? One of the worst things about pundit culture is not only that it's divisive, that it puts people on one side or the other and says you have to choose which side you are going to be on, but also because it's so filled with people who have nothing but the sort of intellectual or theoretical investment in the issues that they're arguing over. And we are rejecting pundit culture, the sort of sideline theorists or the Monday morning quarterbacks or the people who argue about immigrants and immigration and that without having any stake in the game. The people who argue about what our country or our government should be doing in terms of poverty and education, but not having any skin in the game. When that happens and we fight over the ideological turf without actually being involved and touching the people, when we're only fighting from here up, you know, and not this part where we're actually emotionally invested in the lives of the people that we're talking about, we trample, you know, on the actual people who have to live on that turf. Zechariah says in Zechariah 7, 9 through 10, it says, "This is what the Lord God Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow and the fatherless, the foreigner, the poor. Do not plot evil against each other." In this dark world that we live in, where cruelty and cynicism is often rewarded, you know, the crueler you are, the quicker you are to cut somebody down, the more skilled you are at eviscerating your sort of political opponents, we get rewarded with political office. We reward those people. We reward them with social media stardom. We reward them with radio shows. We reward them with paid pundit spots on Fox, on CNN, on MSNBC, on the radio. And we just, as a church, in this dark world where that's how people think that they want to engage in solving the problems of the world, we just want to shine a light. Psalm 112 says, "Even in darkness, lights dawn for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous." Compassion leads to generosity. When we have compassion on somebody, when we're really moved, you know, you can engage a problem from here up. You can engage a problem by yelling at it, or yelling about it, or arguing about it, or you can engage it with simply intellectual, political theory, and you don't ever have to become generous. All you have to do is become right. All you have to do is win the argument. But when we actually engage our compassion in these and engage our heart in these, we become generous. And generosity leads to justice. So we're going to give over the next few months, not only today. How do we want to do these cards? Do we want to pass them out? Why don't we pass these cards out? And then what I'm going to ask you to do is to take these. And this is a card which gives you an opportunity to indicate sort of what your commitment over this next year to Asia's Hope will be. So if you're already giving and know what you're giving, I'd encourage you to, if you think that you can give more, write down that number too. If you've never given, I want you to consider what you could start out giving with. And if this is something you need to take home and talk with your family about, bring it back next week. You can drop them at the Connect table today or next week. You can also drop it in the bucket next week. I'm actually going to ask you that hold on to these and don't fill them out right at this moment unless the Spirit is moving. We're going to do some worship here. Why don't we stand up? I'm going to invite the worship team back up. You're also going to have an opportunity, like we said, this ESL stuff. I believe this is absolutely going to... Do you know what ESL... Does anyone not know what ESL is? I hate using acronyms that people don't know. It's English as a second language, teaching English as a second language. As the band gets started, I want to share real quickly just a super quick anecdote. We did sort of a pilot test launch of ESL a couple years ago, back when we didn't have this building, and we were just had that little office space on Indianola, and it was such an amazing experience for me because how many people showed up? Like 78 people showed up. We couldn't fit the people in. There was like 78 people. They're like 35 kids. And these are people who had never been a part of our church, but people who are immigrants to this country. I met a woman named Esmeralda. We were doing this conversation partner thing. And Esmeralda was from Mexico, I believe. And she had been living in this country. She'd been a mom. Her husband worked. She worked when she could. She cared for three or four small kids. They were working super hard. She'd lived in the country for 3 or 4 years, and she had never been taught. No one had ever taught her the English words for above, below, to the left of, to the right of. And so what we did is this didn't require any Spanish at all for me because there was some Spanish on the thing, but we had triangles, and we'd say, the triangle is, and we'd show the picture, it's above the rectangle. The triangle is below. Imagine living in this country and not knowing how to ask for help at a store, not knowing even the basic of how to, like, get around and how to move around in this. And you know, you could see in Esmeralda's eyes I didn't have to give hardly, it didn't cost me anything to be involved, but to sit down with her and actually, you know, show her patience, and rather than, and I just imagine the times that she's been felt shame, or she's been dismissed, or she's been yelled at, or she's been treated like, you know, she's less than because she can't communicate clearly. You know, I am so excited about what it would mean for our church to have everybody engaged in the game. So when we hear people talk about immigrants, when we hear people talk about immigration, especially over these next couple years as we head towards the next elections, and that in our mind, you know, we're not finding ourselves on some theoretical spectrum where we just move the slider based on what's going on up here, but we think about people that we've met and people that we know, have relationship with. Jeff, you want to...
Also, if we could have our prayer team come to the sides, and I know a few of you have been praying for jobs over a long period of time, and I know specifically of some answers to prayer that have happened. And I want you guys to get prayer. We want to pray blessing over you and your new career, blessing over your acclimation to that job, blessing over your career path, and blessing on you as a light of Jesus in your workplace, which I believe we may have pastors here, but everyone's a minister, and God has called you to be light in your workplace. There's others of you that are having just finances are really rough. And we want to pray for you that you would experience abundance. This isn't name it, claim it crap or anything like that. We want to join with you in praying that God would bless you and provide your needs. Now, some of you have been given a stewardship over resources, and you have an abundance of resources, and you want God to infuse the process of how you invest that. Prayer as well, so along the whole spectrum, and there's some of you that feel called to generosity, but either you don't know how you're going to be generous because of lack of resource, or you don't know how to be generous. We want to begin by praying the Holy Spirit would inhabit that as well. Some of you are just suffering. I don't know how you're suffering. I know, ranging from eating disorders to depression to a sense of directionless to marital. this is a room full of human suffering right now. We want to pray God's rich blessing on you. So this is part, if you're new here or you're just visiting, we end every service in prayer. So I want to pray blessing on you. We're going to worship. And I need more, anyone who's been in our most recent prayer training or otherwise, to get to the sides and be there to pray. We only have a couple people up to pray. And get a prayer from my daughter, Kathleen, because she's leaving for Chicago in an hour. So, Lord Jesus, I ask your Spirit to come right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts, make us faithful, enkindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.